Have you ever wondered how someone you admire became successful in the professional life, but also in the personal life? What does it take to become not only an outstanding leader, but an outstanding person? Welcome to Season 2 of Leaders Unplugged, a show that explores professional and personal leadership through conversations with leaders, regardless of where they are in their career. I'm Nicole Boivin. Alana Davies is the owner of Makeup Lady, a stylish boutique salon specializing in hair, skin, and makeup. She started as a mobile business and within 3 years had a storefront in Yorkville, a trendy area of Toronto. Life wasn't always easy for Alana, who at the age of 16 was on social assistance and lived in government housing. Join us as she talks about what it took for her to become who she is today. So hello, Alana Davies.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We are in the middle of downtown Yorkville at alanadaviesmakeuplady.ca.
Yes.
And there's a lot of energy in this room. So Alana, why is there so much energy in this room?
Oh my God. I think I'm tapping into Barbara Corcoran's energy. I had the pleasure of doing makeup and hair for Barbara yesterday. She's one of the judges on Shark Tank on ABC, a phenomenal powerhouse in real estate and investing in the U.S. And we had a great conversation. So I think I'm tapping into her powerful energy and great words of wisdom.
It's going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to it. So Alana, you are a businesswoman.
Yes.
So tell us about your business.
So I started MakeupLady.ca in 2015. I've always been in the hair and makeup industry. So, you know, I started 15 years ago working for other people. And then it was just time for me to branch out and start my own, have my own space, you know, somewhere space, a safe that my clients can come to and, you know, be themselves and get glam and have good conversation and share energy like we're sharing.
What kind of clientele do you have?
I have everyone. I have celebrity clientele. I have Toronto's socialites. I have regular everyday women, single moms, working moms. Everybody comes to me. So I have a really nice rainbow of clientele.
I bet you hear some really neat stories.
Oh, my chair, I swear to God, I feel like I need to insure it because it has everyone's secrets. And honest to God, like, I don't know if anyone ever dropped a mic in here, it would be bad.
Is there something that you can share without divulging names?
No, nothing, you know, nothing crazy. It's like, honestly, the women that come in here, yeah, like they're going through, some of them share like really difficult times, whether that's like, you know, struggling like in their personal lives or going through divorces or whatever the case may be. But through it, there's always like that glimmer of hope that like comes out of our conversation and they're getting their hair and makeup done or lashes done while they're telling the story. So it's never like concentrated on the negative, which is so nice.
Well, of course not. They're here.
Yeah.
You're making it beautiful.
Exactly.
So you've been in business for 3 years now.
Yes.
Have you always been in this location?
No. So when I first started MakeupLady.ca, I was a mobile business. And then I noticed...
What does that mean, mobile business?
So mobile, I was going to people's homes. I was doing a lot of editorial photo shoots, concentrating mostly on that, like print work and media work. And then my lovely husband, Jonathan Davies, started his company, Davies SEO. And then I started noticing that my online presence started to grow, obviously, with what he was doing with social media and marketing. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need a home for these clients. And then I merged with another salon, still as Makeup Lady, basically as a guest in their salon, which was very kind of them. And then as that started to, you know, become a little smaller for me, then I had to find a space of my own. So it's going to be a year in June. So
do you like it here?
I love it here. You know, I'm excited. It feels good. It feels safe. The energy feels good in here. Like you guys both said when you came in,
yeah,
which is so nice. And I'm excited, you know, and when the time is right, it'll definitely expand a little bit and, you know, have
so
another
busy
space. Yeah, very busy.
Business
thank
is
God.
Good.
Yeah. Business is great. You know, it's definitely not what I expected. you know, like when your first year on your own, like having brick and mortar, like you're really, you know, looking, like you're always looking at your books, but you're really like paying attention mm-hmm. to like your bookings mm-hmm. and your clientele and okay, who's coming back and who's not coming back and where's this person, where's that person. And it can be really overwhelming, especially this January, because the way that the salon industry works, usually from like I would say April to December is busy mm-hmm. And it flows. And then December, at the end of December, January, February is a little slower. So a lot of salons and people in the beauty industry kind of go into like that panic mode. So I managed it really well.
You did panic.
I panicked, but you know, my husband's very grounding. So he was able to pull me back to reality and say, okay, relax. But no, you know what? I couldn't ask for anything more. I'm very excited with the way things have been.
How did you build your clientele?
Online. It started all online. I was working for MAC Cosmetics and doing special events, makeup for Halt Renfrew. So I did meet a few women mm-hmm. through that, but because I didn't have my own studio, it was difficult for me to really, offer them services. So definitely online marketing, that was a huge help, like Google AdWords and SEO, Instagram, social media, really managing that well.
I imagine word of mouth.
Word of mouth is huge. Like right now, I'm very much referral based. I'm still online, but very much referral based. And the
thing, what percentage of your business would you say is referral based?
Oh my God, I would say 85%.
Oh really?
85%. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Especially like doing weddings, and then those brides become my regular clients, and then their bridal party usually become my regular clients, which is really cool and such an honor, right? Because you're doing something right. Usually people hire you just for one day, and it's nice yes. that you have that type of connection with them where they feel safe and they want to come back. So definitely referral based, and it's been great. Yeah.
What do you see, say, five years from now?
Definitely expansion on a space. What that looks like right now is a little hazy. Like, do I want more staff? Do I want a full staff? I'm not really sure about that.
Do you have staff now?
I have two assistants that I use when I have big gigs.
Yeah.
And when I started Makeup Lady, it's private. It's a boutique salon, right? So it's by appointment only, which is nice and which is really different. It's kind of niche mm-hmm. because when you can't just have, I don't have any walk-ins that walk off the street and come okay. in. They have to book with me before they come in, which is nice because when you're booking with me, you know that that's our time. And if you're coming in for services like makeup or hair extensions or lashes, it's such a transformation service that not a lot of people really want to be on the main salon floor getting that done, right?
Because it's very visible.
Very visible. Public. Exactly. And everyone else that's getting services done is like kind of always peeking over, waiting for the transformation to happen. So that's the nice thing about being a boutique salon. But yeah, absolutely.
So you have to be discreet.
Discreet, definitely. Absolutely. And also with the information that comes in. So in the next 5 years, definitely opening up a little bit of a larger space, but still having that privacy, you know, whether that looks like a little mm-hmm. private room that my clients can go in for mm-hmm. certain services or whatever that may be. Also really focusing on product line. I just launched a tinted moisturizer and a microdermabrasion scrub. I'm huge on skincare, and I think it's so vital. And I call it Alana Davis Beauty. And it's basically makeup in skincare. So it's phenomenal. And also really making like neighborhood connections and collaborations with other small businesses and other companies is really a main focus that I'm actually doing now. I just actually have a great collaboration coming out with the Rosedale Club, which is a great boutique gym on Yonge Street in downtown Toronto. And we're doing something together where fitness meets beauty. That'll be launching later on this month. So I'm really excited about that. And also I'm going to be extending in the summer this year, where I'm going to be offering eyelash extension courses. So that's kind of
A
lot on the go, and I'm ready for it. I'm like, let's get it started.
All right. So what made you decide to go in this line of business?
You know, it was honestly just something I was always good at. Like makeup, I love painting faces. I love seeing that transformation that we talked about. And it's interesting, you know, when I meet someone, I can paint a beautiful face, but when I get to really know someone, it's like my painting's a lot different. Oh. You know, I say that it's a little better. I think that, you know, when you have that connection with anyone, I guess it's kind of like in any industry that you're in, when you really know the person you're working with, you're going to want to do better and you're really going to want to push it for them. So I always love that. And I always love, like, I'm obsessed with like human connection. So I think that this was a perfect platform for me, you know?
What did you do to get ready to open a business?
You know what? I didn't do it in a traditional way. Like, I didn't have like, okay, I'm going to have like my logo and I'm going to have a 5-year plan and I'm going to have this. I just kind of was like, you know, into it. Like I had the domain makeuplady.ca, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to be honest, is when my husband started doing his SEO.
What does that mean?
SEO is search engine optimization. So basically when you Google Toronto makeup artist, it helps me pop up online on the front page of Google. So one of my clients that just came today, for example, she Googled hand-tied hair extensions and I was the first one that popped up. So she called me. So when he started doing that and I started getting these calls, I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I hate working for someone else. I always knew that working at Mac, or you know what I mean? Love Mac as a company. Love what they've done with the brand. It's like, you know, I think most people's first lipstick was a Mac lipstick or a Carol Baker Visage lipstick if you live in Toronto. But I always like was like, I want to do it my way. You know, this is what my brand would look like. And I always had it in me. So it was nice that I had someone kind of push me forward without me even knowing it. Because I started getting calls. I'm like, who the hell are these people calling me? And he's like, oh, it's working. I'm like, what's working? And he's like, And he's like, this thing that I'm doing is called SEO, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, like, let me know. Because I'm like, hello. And then I started saying, Alana Davis. Sounds perfect now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, Alana, tell me about some of your earlier influences that contributed to who you are today.
Well, you know, my story is long. Wait, I don't like the way
Hold
I said that.
On.
Yeah.
Long. How can it be long?
Yeah.
My story is long.
I know. I'm like 33, but I feel like I'm 70. So
lots of stuff going on. Eh?
Yeah. No. So how should I say this? I have a very different background in terms of I come from a woman's shelter. I was living in government housing since the age of 16. So, you know, grew up in Regent Park, basically raised myself. And, you know, when you're in that environment and you see poverty, right? You're in government housing, you're in social assistance, you're surrounded around that. There's two ways you can go, right? Either you can say, okay, this is my life and this is where I'm staying, or you can look at the people that are around you that I had that inspired me, that I saw that were basically hustlers. They were hustling. They were trying to get out of housing. They were trying to get out of off social assistance and all that good stuff. And those are the people that I really gravitated towards. So I know that there was something powerful inside me.
Yeah,
I knew that there was something that I needed more. But I think that coming from that type of background has really given me a strength and a street smarts. And I think that if you have street smarts, you have amazing, you know, real life and business smarts, right? Because that's raw. And I think that that's definitely been a huge part of my foundation, because it's given me the lessons of like gratitude and integrity and appreciation and being humble with no matter how far I may go, I still remember where I came from, you know what I mean? And still remember what I didn't have. So I think that that's something that will always stay with me, and definitely that I'm happy that I'm able to even share this story with people, because there's young women that are going to be listening to this that may be in a shelter or maybe in a government housing, and they're like, you know, is this my life? And no, it's not. Where you are now is not where you're going to be. You know what I mean? And who you are now is definitely not who you're going to be 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or even 5 years from now. You know what I mean? But it's definitely making that decision that you want more. And once you have that vision in your head, then that's it.
So you had the vision, obviously.
Yeah, I had the vision. I had the vision of what I wanted my life to look like.
So what did you do?
I started surrounding myself around people that wanted those things. Even people that were in the same buildings as I, you know, that were in government housing. But they would be, like, doing this. Like, I had this one lady that would be, like, she would cook meals for people in the building. And she would sell them for, like, $5 for a little, like, you know, a little plate of food, basically. And she was doing that. And then she went online. And then she started building her business that way. So I would always see these entrepreneurs. And I've been very grateful to meet throughout my career, even in the beauty and hair industry, with powerful, powerful women that have been able to mentor me.
Who has inspired you?
Oh my gosh. Janet Zaccruni, who is the founder and owner of Gusto 101. She owns Cafe Novosa and Gusto 101 in Toronto, Pie Toronto, and now Felix in LA. She's also the Top Chef Canada. And she's such a phenomenal woman. And she's really, she gave me the best advice a couple of years ago, you know, before I even opened my storefront. She said to me, she's like, it's time to rewrite your story. Because, and I think she saw that I was a little stuck with my past and where I want to go, like that insecurity. And she saw that in me. And the fact that she even uttered those words to me, I remember texting her, I said, I don't think you understand how powerful those words were that you said to me. So women like that, my friend Idri Hemmings, who owns Idri Foods in Leslieville, you know, such a powerful, strong businesswoman, gives me great business advice. And just, you know, these women, they keep it real. You know what I mean? They keep it real with themselves. They're humble no matter how big they get, no matter what they have. They're real, real, real people. And those are the women that I want to be like, no matter how big or no matter where I go in my career.
You obviously are comfortable with taking advice and coaching, being mentored.
Yeah, you have to. You have to be. You can't be insecure. You can't be, if you want to have a successful business, you cannot be insecure. You have to be able to accept your failures. You have to be able to accept your critique. You know, I always say to people that if someone says something to you that offends you, there's probably a little bit of truth in it. You know what I mean? That's why it's pulling those cords. And I've always been comfortable with that. You know what I mean? And again, that goes back to just my rawness of my childhood, you know, of people keeping it real. I think that over time, as we become adults, like, it's kind of then, you know, you're not so real. Like, it's nice to be passive aggressive or polite. Like, you don't be too honest with people. No, screw that. Be honest, you know, because all the women, all the people that are successful are honest. That doesn't look good. That's not right. When I did my logo, oh, you need to lose that. That doesn't look good. Like, not even sugarcoating it. But why would you if someone's asking you for advice with their livelihood and their business? So definitely don't be insecure. And if people are, if you're asking for advice, make sure you know who you're asking, because if they're going to give you the real answer, you have to be able to accept it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you paying it forward in any way?
Absolutely. Definitely paying it forward with the shelter system. And at the end of the year, I like to always collect some donations from a few of my clients. And I always end up writing a check to the shelter to help donate to them. I definitely want to get more involved with that. I don't think that I'm in a space right now where I can on the level that I want to do it. So I do what I can, but definitely if I meet young women that come sit in my chair, if they're struggling with anything or have gone through any trials and tribulations, I always pay it forward with at least advice and letting them know that if they ever need anything, they have a safe space to come to.
What's the hardest thing you've ever had to do?
Ooh, the hardest thing I've ever had to do was accept the fact that I'm good enough and accept the fact that I'm worthy of the things that are coming to me. And once I did that, things started flowing, you know, and it's part of like your self-love journey, right? Or self, like that's a journey that I feel like I'm always going to be on, but like really saying I'm worth it. You know what I mean? And me doing this and me sharing my story and me sharing intimate details of my life, you know, is how I'm paying it forward to the world, but then it's also feeding my spirit and helping me glow and letting me know that, you know, I'm worth it.
What would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Oh my gosh. I would tell my 16-year-old self that it's going to be okay and you're going to achieve most of your dreams when you're 30. And then the rest of your dreams, like that lake house, is coming.
Does your husband know that?
Yes. It's on the vision board. Yeah, that's what I tell my 16-year-old self. And that I love her. You know, and she's strong and she's so powerful. That's what I would say to my 16-year-old self. She is so powerful that she doesn't even know how powerful she is. Yeah, and no matter the trials and tribulations that she's been through or that she's seen, nothing can stop her. She's a freaking phoenix. Rising.
I love it. What advice would you have for young adults today just trying to figure it out?
You know what? Make mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, you have your whole life ahead of you. Make mistakes. Try things. If you have a business idea, try it. You know, like, you know, F you, that word, right? Like, F you, and you know, you have to say the full word. You can't say F you, you have to say the full thing. But F you to your insecurities. F you to, you know, don't say it to anyone right to their face, but if anyone tries to, like, deter you from your dreams, F you to that. You know, the limitations that you place on yourself. Like, feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, a great title of a great book that I never read, but I bought because I love the title. But still, like, feel the fear and do it anyway and make mistakes and try. Even if it's like, you know, you're 10 years old, you want to do like a lemonade stand, do it. You know what I mean? If there's any business idea that you have, do it, because you never know what's going to come from it. You know, I was just doing makeup and doing hair and painting faces. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? I just thought, oh, it's a job. Oh, it's fun, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm making it into, this is my livelihood. You know what I mean? This is how my kids are going to eat. This is how my grandkids are hopefully going to eat. So it's definitely bigger than me. So you never know if you're doing something out of passion. And that's another thing. Have passion for whatever you do in life and have integrity and have gratitude for it. Integrity and gratitude, if you don't have that, you don't have nothing. If you don't have the respect for, you know, a lot of business owners or even like, especially in my industry, I notice that like sometimes hairdressers or hairstylists, they might start feeling like they're, you know, the shit. No, you gotta like calm down, because without that client in your chair, you don't have a business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. I loved it. Thank you. Thank you.
Alana wanted to tell her story so that others who are struggling, as she did in her teens, might be inspired. As for her success, she credits her street smarts and the incredible people who were role models, including the ones who, like her, were trying to get out of the circle of poverty. I'm grateful to Alana for sharing. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. And if you want to listen to more conversations like this one, look for Leaders Unplugged at iTunes or Google Play. I also want to thank our producer, Josie Guimont, and our editor, Graham Harris. Until next time.